The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. We are so excited about today. We've got a couple of special events that are coming up for us, even tonight here in Oskaloosa. We are having Vital Gathering at Debbie's Celebration Barn, and it will go from 5 to 7 o'clock. It'll give you an opportunity to come. We'll have food, which will be a great time as family. This is a family event, just to sit down as a family, and also, too, with other families and other people to just enjoy food together. We're going to have a Thanksgiving feast, so it's going to be really, really good. Also, too, we'll have special music there. The Vital Ministries band is there, and we're excited about that. Also, too, we'll be doing a special teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit, how to get plugged into that power, and how that effectively helps us to go out to speak and preach the gospel boldly to those who don't know Jesus Christ. So it's just going to be a great opportunity for you to come. Again, that's at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7, at Debbie's Celebration Barn in Oskaloosa this Sunday night, November 10th. Don't miss that out. Also, too, we just want to encourage you. We have send out devotionals 6 days a week for both men and women. It gives you an opportunity to get that nugget, that inspiration in your fast-paced day. Also, too, it gives a perspective from how the Holy Spirit speaks to the different writers and how it can apply to your everyday, ordinary lives. Again, I want to thank you. Maybe you're listening, you're driving down the highway today. You've turned us on. We have got a great message this morning. I think that's going to be some inspiration. It gives some wisdom and knowledge into a tough subject as we talk about a Jezebel spirit this morning. Also, too, maybe you're on your way to church. Thanks for tuning us in. Welcome. And also, too, maybe you're at home listening. This is your church time. Again, we want to thank you for participating in Vital Ministries and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak as it speaks through us today. It'd just be an exciting time. But we are continuing our series this morning on followership as we look at the lives of two prophets, both Elijah and Elisha. Last week, Elijah was instructed by the Lord to anoint Elisha, his successor, the man who would take his place. Elijah, he travels back 150 miles from Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, to find Elisha, the farmer, plowing a field with two oxen. The man of God takes action immediately. Elijah, he places his cloak on the back of Elisha to signify his mantle of being a prophet to Israel to be on the shoulders of Elisha. Elisha is now following the footsteps of the rabbi, catching the dust in order to step into the ordinary call of his destiny, a place in which Elisha moves from the ordinary to the extraordinary to see God's hand do the miraculous. First, Elijah is to watch Elijah and how to be the obedient to God's word over the people of Israel. Today in our Bible, we're going to look at, if you have opportunity, if you're at home today and you can open up your Bibles, I want you to open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21, where Elijah and King Ahab have another confrontation with Ahab's sin and his wife Jezebel, the wickedness and the manipulation. We'll see firsthand how Ahab's decision and the purchase of a vineyard came with a price. That's our title this morning, It Came With a Price. We'll also be looking at Jezebel this morning, at the demonic spirit in which we call the Jezebel spirit. This morning we have a special guest, Pastor Bill Tweed, a Family Jubilee Church right here in Oskaloosa, a man who is steeped in the knowledge of God's word, my friend, my teacher, my pastor, Pastor Bill, good morning and welcome.
Well, good morning, Brother Mike. I am so thankful to be here. It's a pleasure, and it's always fun just to converse and talk about the word.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to wrestle with one of these, what I would say, these tougher questions, this demonic spirit this morning. And it's already, I can sense this morning at work before we even get started. But I'm going to open up this morning, Pastor Bill, with a question. Today, as we get into the Bible, I would like you to talk briefly about what is the Jezebel spirit and just share with those listening this morning, because we want to get a little bit of groundwork, foundation, as we jump into the Word of God this morning.
Well, absolutely. It is a spirit. You know, all spirits are fallen angels that followed a rebellion that Satan led in heaven. Mm-hmm. And it's really the base sin is the sin of sedition. okay. where Satan undermined God's authority and led this rebellion against God. And really, sedition is to rebel, to undermine God's authority structure, or to usurp authority, draw to oneself. Galatians, it's listed as one of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 3 tells us to follow headship.
Right.
And that when we do that, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then he talks about the head of every woman is the man. The head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So there's a yes. direct line of authority
yes.
God has established that we are to follow.
Yes, very much so. And it said that, help me with this, that when Satan fell, he fell to the earth as of lightning striking.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when he fell from heaven.
Yep.
But also too, Pastor Bill, I want to add another question before we jump in. Is the Jezebel spirit only confined to a woman, or can men have that demonic spirit as well?
Absolutely. Men can have it. And a great example of that in the scriptures is in 2 Samuel 15, 1 through 6, where Absalom
yes.
stole the heart
yes.
of the people. He undermined David's authority,
yes.
David's domain and jurisdiction that were his, which were the people of Israel at that time, who God had given to him.
Right.
This was God's authority. God had anointed David to be king by Samuel. And yet Absalom comes along and draws the people to himself, but led them to slaughter. So yes. following after this type of seditious spirit will always lead in destruction.
Yeah, so we can very much see how that actually works in both yeah. men and women, in the workplace,
absolutely,
in the church,
oh yes,
in government,
absolutely.
Yeah, and we're gonna jump into some of those, wrestle with those tough
yep.
questions this morning.
Awesome.
But first, I'm gonna have you, Pastor Bill, if you would. We're gonna look at point number one. It's never enough. And let's look at 1 Kings chapter 21. If you're at home today, open up your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 4.
And we're in verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab the king of Samaria. It must have been adjoining to it. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into the house heavy and displeased, because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he set him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. What a big baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too as I read this. And obviously, you know, it tells us with King Ab, you know, he was a man of wealth,
yes.
obviously with being the king of Israel.
Yes.
And again, that's the 10 northern tribes that
oh,
we're
yeah.
talking about, not the southern tribes
right.
of Judah,
yep.
but the 10 southern. King Ab, and he's the worst of the worst, way it says
oh, yes.
in the Bible, of the worst kings of the northern kingdom. So God
yep.
is extremely angry with him. But
yes.
this guy is so selfish in his authority. I mean, time and time again, we see him just doing things out of pure selfishness.
Yeah. Violating
God's will.
The authority, because this was given to him by God. That land was given to that family by God.
Yes, yes. And so the question I want to wrestle with this morning, Pastor Bill, is this. Acquiring, obviously, is never enough. It's like an open pit, an open hole that it's got to have more, got to have more. Why does never enough drive us to the place still of wanting more? And why is there such a void in this kind of thinking?
Well, it's the emptiness of not having Christ in your heart. And
yes.
what fills a man's heart when he doesn't have Christ is the lust of the flesh. And it can never be satisfied. That's the nature of lust, is that it's insatiable.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that we're warned about that in 1 John 2, 15 and 16. And Jesus said, John said, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. If we have those, we don't have the love of God.
Right.
One replaces the other.
Right.
One is a false substitute for the love of God.
Right.
And Adam and even Eve, it was beautiful to look at, and it was good to taste, and it was to make one wise, the pride of life. Those
right.
three things were there in the garden, and it was following God, making him Lord, or following after your own desires.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's what the wrestling is going on with King Ahab. He's
yeah.
he's wanting more. He's yep. wanting a vineyard next to his palace, and it's just sad to me when we sit there. But you know, as we look at our culture today in 2019, you know, we're not saying this morning that you can't have things.
Oh, of course.
But what we're saying, it's a heart condition of wanting those things.
Yes.
And
that,
and we can see the heart, the poor heart condition of King Ahab.
Yes. It's a replacement for God.
Absolutely.
God is the only thing that fulfills. And boy, if you don't have that, you're going to try a lot of things to fill a void that's God-sized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ahab wouldn't honor Naboth's answer of keeping the ground in his decision. It was land passed down generation to generation, one to the next. So we see this weakness in the leadership of King Ahab, who sulks, like we just spoke about a moment ago, like a child and puts his face to the wall. That's something in my mind that I would see a five-year-old do, or a young person.
Undeveloped. Yes,
absolutely. So here's the question. King Ahab was coveting Naboth's land, breaking a command, thou shalt not covet, one of God's Ten Commands that he gave to the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
Why are God's commands important for us to follow, even today, Pastor Bill, as believers in Christ? Because there are those commands. And people say, well, are we supposed to follow the Ten Commandments anymore? Or, you know, Jesus wraps them into two.
Yep.
But they're all succumbed to the ten.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what do you think about that? Are we? Why is it important for us as believers to follow the commands of Christ?
It says in Romans 13 that love fulfills all the law. When we walk in love, we fulfill the commandments. As a matter of fact, that's how we know that we're walking in love.
Right.
If we didn't have those commandments, we would have no definite, distinct way of understanding that we're keeping God's law.
Right.
And they are indicative of the love walk. And here with him, he's not respecting Naboth's authority, domain, or jurisdiction. And then later, his wife oversteps her authority, domain, and jurisdiction. And it's very important that we don't sin, because we have to reap that sin.
Right.
Later on, which he does through his wife.
Right. And what the thing that I really appreciate this, because God gives us parameters. God gives us boundaries.
Yes.
Not to go to.
Yes.
And it's so important to realize that those boundaries are also included in God's word, but it's also included in life itself. Boundaries within marriage relationships.
Yep.
Boundaries within a church.
Amen.
And leadership.
Amen.
And it's important, because a lot of times, Pastor Bill, just to be honest, we see this push and pull and umbrella of mercy here between the people, the followers of Christ within a church, and the headship of a pastor. And the headship of a pastor will want to give a direction and a leading as the Holy Spirit has showed him.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, just because maybe one or two people don't agree with that, then we have what I would call the destruction, the fallout that falls out underneath of it, underneath that leadership.
Yep.
And we see it even in a nation, in our country.
Oh, sedition is pervasive. It's it's mom and the kids against dad. It's the elder board against the pastor.
Yes.
It's the house against the president right now.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's everywhere. It's just exploding. And it's violating jurisdiction. It's like you say boundary. Boundary is a good thing, because, you know, that field was a boundary.
Yes.
And he had no respect. He crossed over that. And people's their lives are, there's boundaries. A young girl that should not be violated by a young man. That's a boundary that should be kept
absolutely.
Intact.
Yes, absolutely. This brings us to point number two this morning, Pastor Bill, distorted truth. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 10 again in chapter 21. It says this. Jezebel says, what's the matter? And she asked him, what made you upset that you're not eating? I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard or trade it, but he refused, Ahab told her. Are you the king of Israel or not? Jezebel demanded, get up and eat something and don't worry about it. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard. So she wrote the letters to Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, sent them to the elders and the other leaders of town where Naboth lived. In her letter, she commanded, call all the citizens together for a time of fasting and give Naboth a place of honor. And then seat two scoundrels across from him who will accuse him of cursing God and the king, and then take him out and stone him. Man, this is big. Jezebel and her manipulative spirit is in absolute full stride this morning, Bill. We just see that. So we're going to, here's a question. We see Jezebel taking Ahab's leadership. How can Jezebel's spirit take over a nation, and does that How does that apply to us even today of what we see the undermining, the undercurrent of what's going on?
Well, it's weaponizing your position of authority.
Absolutely.
We see that in our federal government right now.
Yes.
We see this in every aspect of life. There's a weaponization of authoritative positions, and then there's undermining positions that are over them. And, you know, and I also would say this. You look at the culture. Beyonce has a mass, and then there's other great celebrities that are starting their own religions that are on every day.
Yes,
and there's a women's lib movement that, and this is nothing new because in Jeremiah 7:18, there was a movement called the Queen of Heaven that they were worshiping female deities, and what they're really worshiping was femininity and gender. And we see this; it always rebrands itself and reemerges. And just a little different twist.
Right.
But we're seeing that again today.
Right.
And, you know, the curse in Genesis 3:16 is that because the woman did not submit to the man, she'd be ruled over by her husband.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things like that today that are going on. And I just see that today it's everywhere.
Yes. Yes. And it's a full push. And it's again, you know, it's amazing how our culture has shifted. Where the sad part about it is, and even a lot as we see what's on television, the commercials, and undermining the authoritative role that a man that God has placed in his leadership to lead his family,
yes,
to lead within a church, to lead within a nation. And we see that, and again, we have some great women lead. Kim Reynolds, for one.
They're great. Yeah.
She's great. She does a wonderful, she has done a great job in the state of Iowa as our governor. And we're not saying that women can't be an authority, but we're saying both men and women have to fully understand the authority been given to them and that it's placed under God.
Absolutely. The police officers, when they're having water thrown on them, when they're having buckets thrown at them.
Yes.
And in during this, when a president is being attacked on all sides, and I'm not trying to get political anyway here, and that's no commentary on that. It's the office that I'm referring to that deserves the respect, because that is what's God-given in this situation.
Yes. And to be honest, I'm going to touch on this just a little bit. And I'm, again, we're not trying to be... This is not a political rally by any means.
No, not at all.
But the thing that concerns me, like for instance, some of the commercials that are being taken is obviously as we're getting ready for the next election. What bothers me is the disrespect of the office of our president.
Yep.
They call the other person by name as opposed to saying, President, this person.
Yes.
It's a disregard. It's a disrespect. And that's respect should be giving to a person who is in office. It's the same thing as Pastor Bill as me giving you when I call you Pastor Bill. It's a place of respect.
Yes.
It's a place of also too of leadership that God has placed you not only in the church but also in a community and also too as you go and your involvement in different areas of within the state government itself of things that you're called into. And it's important to understand.
And
that.
And as well as I've called you Pastor Mike or Brother Mike, which are terms of authority in the church.
Yes.
And so we should always give honor where honor is due.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So which comes again to the second question is how does the Jezebel spirit affect within the church body today, Pastor Bill? What are you seeing as a pastor of the conflict that's going on? Not necessarily because I've been at your church and I don't sense that spirit whatsoever, but sometimes you will get into churches or within the church denominations and you'll see this, especially with the agendas that we're seeing today with, tough question, homosexuality.
It's a major question. I mean, it's a major issue.
Yes.
And well, what I've found is that there is always a seditious element arrayed against the church to undermine it. And that comes with many faces, and it has a lot of different modes of operandi, so to speak. But I go to Isaiah, the third chapter, which talks about this very specific thing. And the chapter could be broken down like this, a weakened father figure.
Right.
Whatever attacks that father figure, because fathers are the head of families, and families are the foundation of nations.
Right.
And so when you attack the father figure, and then when the children are allowed to have no respect and run wild and are not disciplined.
Right.
And then they begin to disrespect. And then what happens is then no one wants to lead anymore because there's no respect for leadership. And it's respect is the only thing that you have in leadership to have followership.
Right.
It's based in respect. It's based in an intention. intangible. It's based in something that you have to show honor because God says to show honor.
Right.
And here we see that even when women rule their families, even psychologists have told us for years that when leadership looks like a woman, little boys get confused and it's a major cause of homosexuality.
Right. And it's all due to a lot of the effect of if there's a man present, because we're finding more and more in our nation, the reason why women are leading because it's the absence of men.
Men won't lead.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want to go out and make babies, but they don't want to have a responsibility. I'm sorry.
Yep, it's true.
The responsibility of having the baby.
Absolutely.
And being in the game of a one-night stand or just because they're in a relationship and not bound together in the covenant of marriage. And so that's what happens.
They won't lead. And sometimes if they try to, they're not given honor and they're not allowed to lead. And so it goes both ways.
Yes.
It's abdication by the man, and then sometimes it's a lack of respect by the woman. And it collapses our society. We can see this whole chapter 3 of Isaiah ends like this. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. These are serious times where we have to be careful we don't allow that into our church.
Absolutely.
Or home.
Let's keep moving. Our time is just escaping. Point number 3, weak leaders will succumb to Jezebel. Pastor Bill, would you take us through 1 Kings chapter 21, 11 through 16?
Yes. 11 through 16.
11 through 16.
And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. That's children of the devil, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying that Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. In verse 14, then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take the possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. And Naboth is not alive, but dead.
Man, it just is. We see the innocence of a man that is now killed, all because of the obstruction of somebody wanting something that's not theirs.
Yeah.
And a deal gets cut, and this man passes away. So here's the question again. Why is it important for us today to pick, this is key, to pick healthy leadership in both men and women in leadership roles? And we're talking greater, more than just the church, Pastor Bill. We're talking about and governing within our city, governing within our state, governing within the nation.
Yes.
It's huge. What kind of, you know, there's a lot of promises always made when people campaign.
Yes.
But the key is, are they a healthy leader?
Oh, and you know, it says in Exodus 12 and 18, or 18:12, it talks about that we choose men who fear God, who hate covetousness, and love truth.
Right.
There's a set criterion. But in other words, are they followers of others? Are they submitted to others?
Right.
Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, Lucifer, in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, he talks about, I will ascend, I will assert myself, I will be as God, I will sit on the mount. It's all about him, and it's all about his will. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will, because he was a servant. Lucifer said, my will, not thy will.
Yes, absolutely. It even leads us as a nation on this coming Monday, as we respect our veterans, those that have fallen,
yes,
and those that have also served.
Yeah.
And I look at that, Pastor Bill, because that's also, too, directed leadership in order to lead a nation.
Yes.
And we'll honor those men and women who have served in the military.
Absolutely.
But they follow a role, a leadership role. And we've seen significance both in the military of positive leadership and also to unhealthy leadership and the cost and the parameters of both.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That's amazing as I think about those leadership roles. But let's keep going to our point number 4 this morning is the cost of the vineyard. And we'll continue in verse 17 through 26. It says this, "But the Lord said to Elijah, go down to meet King Ahab of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He will be at Naboth's vineyard in Jezreel, claiming it for himself. Give him this message. This is what the Lord says. Wasn't it enough that you killed Naboth? But you must rob him too. Because of what you have done, dogs will lick your blood. And at the very place where they licked the blood of Naboth, so many enemies have found me." And I find this interesting. Ahab comes. "So my enemy, you have found me," Ahab explains to Elijah. So now the confrontation begins. Elijah says, "Yes, I have come because you have sold yourself to what is evil in the Lord's sight." So now the Lord says, "I will bring disaster on you and consume you. I will destroy every one of your male descendants, slave and free alike, and who live in Israel. And I am going to destroy your family as I did the family of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and the family of Baasha of Ajai. For you have made me very angry and have led Israel into sin. And regarding Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will eat Jezebel's body at the plot of the land of Jezreel. The members of Ahab's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures." Man, this is some big stuff here. "No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife Jezebel. Yeah. His worst outrage was worshiping idols, just as the Amorites had done, the people whom the Lord had driven out from the land of the Israelites." Man, this is some big stuff, Pastor Bill, as we look at this point number four. But Elijah gets confronted. He confronts King Ahab, and I love that. He's not afraid. He's given a moment of where he's called to lead.
Yep.
And he steps into it.
Yep.
I love that. So this is our opening question. Why is it important to confront with another believer what is the right thing to do?
You know, in the Amplified Translation, 1 Timothy verses chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it tells us that the man of God is called to show people where their life is wrong.
Yes, yes.
We don't do that today.
We're afraid to.
In the seeker-friendly culture that we're in, we are afraid to show people where they're wrong. And the Bible says in Proverbs that flattery is actually not a form of love, but really a form of destroying the person, flattery.
Yes.
But a wise man loves correction, and a wise man's, it says, striking him is better than a kiss.
Right.
Because, you know, another place it says, they that hate their children don't discipline them, but they that love them discipline them. We must, as leaders, correct. As fathers, our children, as pastors, our church, as a nation, even the nation needs sometimes correction and guidance in such a way as this. And if you don't have it, you're going to be destroyed.
Absolutely. Which leads us to 27. We see what happens with the confrontation, as we're almost out of time, Pastor Bill. But in verse 27, it says this, "But when Ahab heard this message, he tore his clothing and dressed in burlap and fasted. He even slept in burlap and went into a deep mourning. Then another message from the Lord came to Elijah. Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has done this, I will not do what I promised during his lifetime. It will happen to his sons, and I will destroy his dynasty." He's still reaping, Pastor Bill.
There's no getting around it.
He still is. God saw his forgiveness, which helps us to see today the importance of when we make wrong decisions, when we step in and we do sin.
Yeah.
That God, we serve Jesus Christ, is a just God.
Yep.
And he sees us in that point of forgiveness.
Yep.
So we're out of time, Pastor Bill. Would you give us a brief closing of prayer this morning, and we'll sign off today?
Yes, amen. And Father, we just thank you that with Ahab, you showed him mercy, but he still had the consequence of justice through his children reaping. We pray that message goes deep into our hearts, that God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. And Father, I ask that you bless the people today. Father, I ask that this message goes deep into their heart. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank you for listening to Vital Ministries this morning. We're a great opportunity as we study a hard subject about the Jezebel spirit. Stay with us next week as we jump into where Elijah goes up into heaven on a fiery horse with chariots, and Elisha gets his mantle placed on him and steps into what he's been predestined to. The trajectory of his life is about to dramatically change. Exciting times.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening today. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.